sister said he was a mean chick. Always thought that she was real slick. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down. Sister said he never hurried. Sister said he never worried. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down. She just paces around the floor.
That was not the version that you were expecting to hear, but it wasn't the version I was expecting to hear either. That is Emily Braden with this week's standard, Sister Sadie. So here's what happened. I've played this tune before. Like, it's really easy to memorize if you're playing bass or if you're singing. And I thought I knew it. I played it in a few sessions. But I've been following Emily Braden on Instagram. And I went to find this version of hers, and I think she just swings, which is what I like about her. And what is swing? I guess it's when the melody and the rhythm, all the components of the music, come together to give you life and make you want to move. Well, Emily Braden certainly does that, and that's why this week's tune is Sister Sadie. I'm Joanna Aline, and this is The Standard Show. Every week, I take one tune from the real book, one song, 1 hour, and I trace where it came from, who built it, who real built it, and why it has survived. This week, Horace Silver's Sister Sadie, a tune that's been sitting in fake books and gig folders since 1959. Most of us learned it as a warm-up before we ever thought about who wrote it, or why it's even shaped the way it is. This tune in a single afternoon at Rudy Van Gelder's studio. He gave it a title that meant nothing in particular, and by accident wrote one of the most recognizable heads in the hard bop songbook. It's a tune built almost entirely out of five notes. We'll get to how that works, but first we go back to where Silver himself came from, because you can't understand this tune without understanding the sound he'd already spent a decade building toward.
She ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down. Put her down, 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 down. Baby, lady, out. Baby, lady, out. Baby, lady, out. Baby, lady, out.
Horace Ward Martin Tavares Silver was born on September 2nd of 1928 in Norwalk, Connecticut. His mother, Gertrude, sang in the church choir and worked as a maid. His father, John Tavares Silver, had come to the United States as a young man from the island of Mayo in Cape Verde. It's off the coast of Africa in a former Portuguese colony. He worked at the Norwalk Tire Factory. At night, John Silver played violin and guitar at family parties, and it was that music, the Cape Verdean Moras and Coladeiras, with their Portuguese harmonic sense laid over African rhythms, that Horace absorbed before he ever touched the piano seriously. He started on classical keyboard with the church organist, picked up tenor saxophone in the Norwalk High School band under the spell of Lester Young, and kept working the piano on the side. What actually turned him into a jazz musician was blues and boogie-woogie. He memorized A.V. Parrish's piano solo off Erskine Hawkins' After Hours note for note, and then Art Tatum, Teddy Wilson, and eventually the two pianists who define his harmonic vocabulary for the rest of his life, Thelonious Monk and Bud Powell.
Thank you.
In 1950, Stan Getz played a gig in Hartford with a local pickup rhythm section. That section was Silver on the piano, Walter Bolden on drums, and Joe Calloway on the bass. Getz liked what he heard enough to hire the entire trio on the spot. Silver had already been saving up to move to New York. Getz just gave him the excuse. By 1952, he was in the city working as a sideman, and Alfred Lion at the Blue Note brought him in to back saxophonist Lou Donaldson. You're listening to Lou Donaldson with Horace Silver, playing a tune called If I Loved Again. Date fell through because the saxophonist wasn't available. Lion asked Silver he could just lead a trio session by himself, and Silver said yes. He had plenty of material. And that's the beginning of Horace Silver as a leader, and it's worth sitting with what kind of a composer he had already become, because Sister Sadie doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes out of a specific, deliberate campaign Silver had been running since the mid-50s to pull jazz back towards the blues, the church, and the dance floor at a moment when a lot of his contemporaries were pushing further into abstraction. This tune is called The Preacher. It's recorded 4.5 years before Sister Sadie, with Kenny Dorham on the trumpet, Hank Mobley on tenor, Doug Watkins on bass, and Art Blakey on the drums. Thank you. Interesting to listen to this for a second, because Alfred Lion almost didn't let Silver record this tune. He thought it sounded too old-timey, too much like a revival tent. Silver and Blakey pushed back hard enough that Lion backed down. The Preacher is built on the same chord changes as an old ballroom sing-along called Show Me the Way to Go Home, a tune Silver liked to close his sets with. That's the move. You take something churchly, something almost embarrassingly simple, and run bebop harmony and hard swing drums through it until it becomes something new. Born Again? The Preacher became Silver's first hit. It's also the blueprint. Sister Sadie, 4 years later, is Silver running that same experiment again with a sharper compositional tool in his hand. So here's how it works. Sister Sadie leans almost entirely on the major pentatonic scale, the five-note scale that skips the fourth and seventh degrees, the one that shows up in gospel vamps, in blues shouting, and in nursery rhymes. And then you add the flatted third back in, what some call the soul pentatonic, and you get that blue vocal quality in the melody, even though there's no vocalist on the original record. The tune is really call and response, almost a mirror image to Monin, the Bobby Timmons tune that had already made this soul jazz language commercially unavoidable a year earlier. Where Monin answers a rising cry with a low, mournful reply, Sister Sadie answers a short, punchy figure with an open, swinging one. It's the same church-inflicted logic running in another direction. The form is a straightforward 32-bar AABA, but Silver doesn't treat it like a simple head solo head chart. He builds two full short choruses into the arrangement on psalm passages where the whole band states a riff together at full volume, a device borrowed straight from the big band tradition and shrunk down to fit in a quintet. It's a small structural choice, but it's the reason that Sister Sadie sounds bigger than just five musicians. You get the intimacy of a small group, but the impact of that full shout chorus in the same 3 minutes. This is also, by the way, the same year that Silver started publishing his own material through a company he called Ecaro Music, E-C-A-R-O-H. That's his name, Horace, spelt backwards, a habit from goofing around with friends as a teenager in Connecticut. Sister Sadie belongs to Ecaro Music, copyright 1959, and it was renewed again in 1987. Silver wasn't just writing tunes that would become standards. By this point in his career, he already owned the machinery that made sure he'd get paid every time someone else played his tune. So that's who wrote this. A composer whose earliest ear training happened at a Cap Verde family party in Connecticut, who built a career on taking sacred and secular vernacular music and running it through bebop, and who by 1959 already had one enormous hit doing exactly that. Sister Sadie isn't a departure from that project. It's the project coming to its refined high point. But the tune got words anyway, almost immediately, from Eddie Jefferson. Sister Sadie, recorded January 15, 1961 in New York, later compiled into The Jazz Singer, vocal improvisations on famous jazz solos. That's Eddie Jefferson on vocals, Howard McGee trumpet, James Moody tenor, Musa Kalim baritone saxophone, Gene Key piano, John Latham on bass, Ozzie Johnson on drums, with Bab Gonzalez, Ned Gavley, and Honey Gordon on the background vocals. This is the words This is where the words every vocalist since has worked from. Jefferson is the man credited with inventing Vocalese itself. That's writing lyrics to horn solos rather than to the melodies. And this same session, he turned that same trick on a second Silver tune, The Preacher, retitled here as A Crazy Romance. Jefferson doesn't write a love song or a tribute. He writes a morality tale. A woman named Sadie humbled by a man called Alfonso Brown, delivered in the sly, talking blues cadence Jefferson built his whole career on. Worth naming clearly and moving past quickly, because every vocal version that follows this hour is working in Jefferson's shadow, whether they quote him directly or not. He's the one who decided Sister Sadie was a character with a story, not just a title that Silver liked the sound of.
Sister Sadie was a mean chick, and she thought that she was real slick. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down. Sister Sadie never worried, Sister Sadie never hurried. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down. She just paces around the floor, she don't have any mind no more. She just stares into empty space with a frown on her face. Sister Sadie was a honey, always had a lot of money. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down. Well, good, good for you. Just good for you. Unless you got what you've been begging for. Yeah, you've been going around picking on other women's fellows. But when you got one of your own, I thought you'd have the sense to be cool, Sadie. I don't mean no harm, I'm just trying to tell you the facts of life. Cause I've been through it, baby, and I know that this ain't no joking matter. You can bet your sweet life I'm telling you just like I tell my daughter. Listen to me, that's what you ought to. You better change your evil doing ways, Sadie, dear. I wish that you'd be cool and try to take some advice.
Hey, girl.
I told you once or twice the things you're doing are not nice.
Hey, girl.
The talk's been going around that you've been dragging yourself.
Hey, girl.
If you have to act a fool, why don't you go somewhere else? She just paces around the floor. She don't have any mind no more. She just stares in empty space with a frown on her face. Sister Sadie was a honey, always had a lot of money. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down. She just paces around the floor. She don't have any mind no more.
Covers started arriving within a year. Crawford recorded it on More Soul in 1960 and notably played it a good deal faster than Silver had intended. When Leonard Feathered played Crawford's version back to Silver for a downbeat blindfold test in 1961, Silver's response was diplomatic but pointed. They did this a little faster than I intended, but then that's their interpretation, the way they hear it. It's more of a blues band type interpretation. Gil Evans rearranged it for his orchestra that same year in Out of the Cool. Ray Charles cut it on Genius plus Soul equals Jazz. Shirley Scott built an entire tribute album called Shirley Scott Plays Horace Silver around it. Within 2 years of the original session, Sister Sadie had already crossed from hard bop combo repertoire into soul jazz, big band, and organ trio territory, which tells you something about how flexible those pentatonic notes really are. It doesn't care what instrumentation you throw at. Thank you. This one, the defining recording, isn't the cover that eclipsed the original, it's the original itself. Nobody has ever done to Sister Sadie what Coltrane did to My Favorite Things. Silver's own version is still the version every player checks their memory against, so that's where we're going to spend our longest stretch of music in this hour. August of 1959, this quintet, that's Mitchell, Cook, Taylor Haynes, they've been playing together long enough to stop sounding like a leader and sideman and start sounding like a single instrument with five parts. Blue Mitchell brought a warm, unhurried lyricism to the trumpet chair that balanced Silver's more percussive attack. Junior Cook's tenor had a burnished, almost vocal tone that made him a natural fit for a melody this blues-drenched. Gene Taylor and Louis Haynes locked in a groove that never rushes, even at tempo. Haynes plays the shout choruses with a kind of held-back power, like he knows exactly how much force the arrangement needs and refuses to give it 1 ounce more. Listen for what Silver does compositionally in the arrangement itself. The two shout choruses aren't just louder repeats of the head. That's where the band's ensemble writing gets its say before the solo starts eating up the running time, a device that makes a 5.5-minute studio track feel like it has the scope of something twice as long. This is Silver, the arranger, doing as much work as Silver, the composer.
Thank you.
That's the version that everything else in this hour gets measured against. That's Silver's own, with the band that lived inside the tune before anyone outside the room had heard a note of it. Everything else that follows is a conversation with this recording, whether the artist knows it or not. You are listening to The Standard Show on Big E Radio here in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I'm Joanna Lean, and if you want to hear the extended cuts and a couple of things I didn't have time for here on air, they're all waiting for you at the-standard-show.com. This is one of the first sessions for what became known as Herman's Swingin' Herd, and it's the session where the 24-year-old Sal Nistico announced himself. His tenor solo on this chart is the reason people still talk about this recording 60 years later. That's Woody Herman, clarinet and alto sax from October 15th and 16th of 1962 in New York City.
Yes, talk about Sister Sadie. Yes, talk about Sister Sadie. Yes, talk about Sister Sadie. Yes, talk about Sister Sadie.
Sadie was a mean chick, and she thought that she was real slick. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso brought her down.
Sister Sadie never worried. Sister Sadie never worried.
Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down.
She just dances around the floor. She don't have any mind no more. She just stands into empty space with a frown on her face. Sister Sadie was a honey, always had lots of money. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down. Sister Sadie. She just stands into empty space with a frown on her face. Sister said it was a honey, always had lots of money. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down.
Since Alfonso put her down.
Andy and the Bay Sisters from their debut album called Andy and the Bay Sisters from Nashville, Tennessee in 1960. It was released in 1961. And who's on it? Andy Bay on the piano and vocals, Geraldine Bay, and Salome Bay. Is that name familiar to you? This is a family vocal trio that's out of Newark, New Jersey. They take a hard bop instrumental into three-part harmony and vocalese. It was produced in Nashville by the man who more or less invented the Nashville sound, and that is Chet Atkins. But there's also a quiet Canadian story in there. Salome Bay moved to Toronto in the mid-1960s, stayed for the rest of her life. She became known across this country as Canada's First Lady of the Blues. She was made an honorary member of the Order of Canada in 2005, and Canada Post put her on a stamp in 2022. Her brother Andy, the piano and lead voice on the track you're hearing, went on years later to sing on Horace Silver's own United States of Mind records in the early 70s. So this family harmonized on Silver's tune in 1960, and one of them ended up working directly for him a decade later. The next track you're going to hear is Kengo Nakamura from his album called Roots from 2004 from Avatar Studio, New York City. It is Kengo Nakamura himself on the bass. I've heard Nakamura do something with this tune on his own, which is that he's walking the bass line, comping the chords, and starting all the melodic ideas all inside the same bars. It's almost like there are three hands on the instrument instead of two. I can't hand you a peer-reviewed source for what he does. I can tell you it is the reason that I put him on the show this week at all. I can tell you where he came from. He comes from Osaka, Japan. Classical guitar at 12, electric bass at 17, Berklee College of Music in Boston in 1988, and a hard turn towards the upright bass once he got there, channeling a sound he'd heard in Mingus's playing. He graduated in 1991, moved straight to New York, studied privately with Homer Mensch, the Juilliard bass professor, and worked his way into rooms with Roy Hargrove, Cyrus Chestnut, and Wynton Marsalis, eventually becoming a member of Marsalis's own working quartet. This is the international document argument for the real book in one player's life story. It's not a list of cities or one specific route, Osaka to Boston to New York, playing changes that were written down in New Jersey in 1959, off a book compiled from other musicians' memories in rooms where nobody asked where he'd learned the tunes. He just knew it, the way everybody else in the room is supposed to know it.
Thank you.
Sister Sadie has been a real book fixture since the earliest bootleg editions came out of Berkeley in the 70s. It's a tune simple enough on paper to fake convincingly, but distinctive enough in the room that nobody forgets it once they've called it. It sits in Volume 1, where the hard bop and soul jazz repertoire lives. The specific page number moved between the illegal editions and the legal Hal Leonard printings are enough that it's not worth guessing what number it is in the edition that you're holding in your hand. The published lead sheet runs in the key of G major, 32 bars, that's AABA, but what the chart can't show you is the two shout choruses that Silver built into this arrangement. That's a bandstand tradition, not something written into the changes, so if you've only ever learned this off a lead sheet, you learn the skeleton and never the muscle. One practical note for a jam session, count on somebody calling the shout chorus from memory and everybody else either finding it by ear or laying out until it's over. That's the tune teaching you the same lesson it's been teaching bandstands since 1959, and that is that the page gets you in the door, but the room finishes the job. So here's where an hour like this one actually lands. Silver wrote it into a single session because he already knew exactly what he wanted the tune to do, and it did that so well that a big band screamer like Sal Nistisco would turn it into a launching pad, and a Nashville-produced vocal trio could turn it into a three-part harmony. And one of those singers could end up working for Silver himself a decade later without anyone planning it to be that way. And a bassist from Osaka could carry it across an ocean and back with nothing but his own two hands doing a job that usually takes three or four or five players to do. And it still had enough room left in it 64 years after that Van Gelder session for a singer in Harlem to find her way through a season of grief and come out on the other side with the sunniest track on her record, which is the same version, incidentally, that pulled me back to a tune I already thought I knew. That's not survival by accident. That's a tune built well enough that everyone who touches it finds their own reason to need it. Which brings us back to where we started. That's to Emily Braden from her 2023 album Cannon and Sparrow, produced by longtime collaborator Misha Piagorski. Personnel, Emily Braden vocals, Misha Piagorski key and percussion, Danton Bowler on bass, Rudy Royalton on drums, Freddie Bryant guitar, Tatum Greenblatt trumpet. Braden is a Boise-born, Harlem-honed, a fixture on the New York jazz and soul scene for more than a decade, and Cannon and Sparrow is a record she started working on in the shadow of losing her father. The recording process stretched out over years before it finally landed in 2023. Sister Sadie sits on that album not as a showpiece, but almost as a release valve. The New York review that caught my ear when I went looking called it the sunniest thing on the record, and that's exactly right. This is a 65-year-old hard bop instrumental, still flexible enough that a vocalist processing genuine grief can land on it and come out the other side smiling. And that's the whole argument for why this tune is still in rotation two generations after Silver wrote it in an afternoon. It survived Woody Herman's saxophone section, a Nashville section run by a country producer, a Japanese bassist doing something to it I still can't fully explain, and now a Harlem vocalist's most personal record. And it's still recognizably the same five notes Silver built it out of in 1959.
Sadie was a mean chick, always thought that she was real slick. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down. Sister Sadie never hurried, Sister Sadie never worried. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down. She just paces around the floor. She don't have no mind no more. She just stares into space with a frown on her face. Sister Sadie, always had lots of money. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso put her down, 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 down. Since Alfonso put her down. She won't let her own poor boy down. She won't let her own 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 boy down. Some of them, don't put it down. Sister said he never hurry.
Sister said he never worry. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She had to be in the same sense. Alfonso put it down. She just paces around the floor. That girl don't have no mind no more. She just stares into space with a frown. With a frown on her face. Sister said he was a honey. Always had lots of money. Then she ran into Alfonso Brown. She hasn't been the same since Alfonso. Put it down. Put it down, 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 down. Baby, lady, out. Lady, out. Baby, lady, out. Baby, lady, out.
Stay close to the music. This is Joanna Lean for The Standard Show on Big E Radio here in Edmonton. Find all of what I played today and a few things I didn't have time for on the website, which is the-standard.show.com. You can also find playlists on iTunes and YouTube for versions if you're looking to study, as well as a chart of the tune, again, by going to the-standard-show.com. I'll be the same lady, same theme, same show next week. See you then.
Hey there, music lovers. Did you know that getting licensed to share music online is not just the right thing to do? It's also super important for supporting creators and the music industry. That's why we're proud to be licensed by SOCAN, a copyright collective that grants licenses for online music broadcasts in Canada. By getting licensed through SOCAN, you ensure that every beat, every note, and every melody that you play is compliant and fair to the creators. Join us in supporting the music community. Visit SOCAN's website at www.socan.com and get your web radio, podcast, or any other use of online music licensed today. Let's stream beautiful music together, legally and ethically. SOCAN, music, people, connected.